Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Public Relations, publisher of Being Incandescent Business Magazine, and your host for the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. From modern classics to items that are great for gifting, we are here at Be Good Clothing, the company that will have you responsibly dressed from beanie to socks. Founders Dean Ramadan and Mark Spera are two gentlemen that we are very excited to be interviewing today on the Incandescent Radio Network. Their store at 2127 Union Street is absolutely lovely and really exciting and a new addition to the neighborhood. So welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network, guys.
Thank you very much.
We're very happy to be here.
So first, let's start off by talking about your corporate philosophy, which is change your clothes, change the world. How does that work? We'll start with you, Dean.
Okay, well, change your clothes, change the world is kind of our motto because of our concept of the store is that every item we carry in the store gives back to an environmental or humanitarian cause. So whether it's like Tom's Shoes that does a buy one, give one to someone in need, or Patagonia, which is kind of like the godfather of the eco-friendly clothing, and they started this thing called 1% for the Planet. Which gives back 1% of sales to a number of environmental initiatives. So we carry about 45 different brands, and all of them are eco-responsible and socially responsible.
Excellent. So what made you guys want to start this company?
Well, originally I came from a background at a big retailer in San Francisco. Dean comes from a family where everyone was traveling around the world following his mother, who was in the Foreign Services. So naturally, we melded the two ideas. You know, Dean saw what was going on in the rest of the world. I loved retail. And we said, why isn't there one store location that kind of takes both of those concepts and puts it into one? We became kind of, I guess, the Urban Outfitters of sustainable apparel in that way. And we really like where we're at right now.
So what are some of your goals, short-term and long-term?
So short-term goals, I think, are to just master our store, master our online store. Also to, you know, help a local community in San Francisco. We support a number of local charities, Project Open Hand. We do some national charities, the Movember Foundation, SF AIDS Walk, etc. So we want to continue supporting as many local charities as possible, as well as grow our business here. Probably within our 5-year plan is to open more stores. We feel like a physical retail store is a really good jump off point to explain things to customers, to really get people to interact with us. So in the future, more stores. For now, mastering what we've got here.
Okay, great. So Dean, tell us about some of the lines that you carry and why you've chosen them.
Okay. So I'll start with the ones that are right in front of me. It's WeWood watches. It's watches that are made with reclaimed wood. And then they partner with a charity to plant a tree in the United States for each one sold. One of our biggest lines is Threads for Thought, which is a very up-and-coming brand, and they give financial support to the International Rescue Committee, which helps people who are displaced after natural disasters, and it also gives financial support to the Natural Resources Defense Council, which helps protect our environment. Looking around, we also have Pact Apparel, which does a lot of the basics, like socks, underwear, tees, leggings, and they partner with a different impact project for each of their seasons, and this season they are giving a portion of the sales to help build 100 urban gardens across the United States. And we actually did an event with Pact in the store a couple months ago to raise money for the urban garden that's being built in San Francisco. Then we have also a number of nonprofit brands like Crochet Kids, which works with women in northern Uganda to they crochet beanies, and they are also in starting to get more into the apparel. We're going to be carrying a number of hoodies from them in the future. We also carry a number of jewelry lines. One of our favorites is this one called Jade of All. It's a girl, Kristen Briantes, who actually is a local San Franciscan. She works for Google and does jewelry as like her side project. And she uses the proceeds to help fund feeding programs in the Philippines. And she actually goes to the Philippines herself and gives care packages to the kids there.
That is amazing. So how does someone contact you to carry their line, and how do you find these folks?
So a couple of different things have happened. So first, we always say we'd be a really good Google commercial because we've definitely found a bunch of lines just simply by Google searching. We've gone to some trade shows with some amount of luck, but not entirely. As you can imagine, if you go to a trade show with, you know, thousands of brands, hundreds or thousands of brands, you know, only one or two would probably fall into a category that we'd be able to carry them. So we've done a little bit of trade show, a little bit of Google, and then something else that's happened is, yeah, we've had brands come to us to say, hey, would you guys be interested in stocking us? There's been a few actually recently that we've taken on. And then we've actually had one or two customers come in and let us know about a brand that we had no idea about. So that's always really nice. You know, obviously there's an engagement element there, and plus some of the suggestions have been great. So yeah, that's a couple of the ways that we found them.
So this issue of the magazine is the Art of Leaning In issue, featuring Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. How do you, you guys are clearly leaning into the this concept of social responsibility. We were at the Conscious Capitalism Conference, and this is obviously what they're promoting as well. So talk a little bit about these social trends that are going on around the country that you're picking up on and how you're fitting into it.
So I think in general, the one-for-one movement that was started by Tom's Shoes is something that's really gained a lot of ground. We can see it ourselves. Every month or two, we're seeing new brands pop up that are, you know, potentials for us. So ones with, you know, really strict social codes. So that's really encouraging. That's one of the, like, the changing landscapes that we're seeing. Another thing, it's like really clear with local shopping and what like Whole Foods has done, that organic and, you know, shopping locally is something that people are really interested in. That's why we feel like retail stores in particular are pretty essential to our growth. So, you know, kind of in order to buck the trend of some of the bigger retail companies that are, you know, going only online or only in major cities, our plan for growth is, you know, still very local while still focusing, you know, on the entire U.S. as well.
Yeah, that's great. It's definitely leaning into it.
Yeah.
So retail is not an easy industry, especially to be a startup in. So what do you wish you knew before you opened the doors to Be Good?
Well, we like to say that we wish you knew to ask questions more. We don't really come from a retail background, so this is all brand new to us since we first opened the doors. Well, Mark worked at Gap Inc., but I'm talking about actually like working in the retail stores, like dealing with customers on a day-to-day basis. But we've learned a lot since we've opened, especially because in one area we've definitely improved a lot on is women's fashion, because it is two guys owning a women's and men's clothing store. So we've definitely learned a lot in that realm and how to merchandise the store and how to kind of engage with all the customers and make them know without bothering them too much, like, to teach them about the concept and then be able to answer all their questions and kind of help them out.
So back on the topic of asking questions, like some of the things in the beginning that we knew nothing about were, you know, the legal ramifications of starting a business. So, you know, backtracking, here we are talking to the IRS, getting our stuff set up, talking to the city of San Francisco. We wish we had just gone right into the city hall and asked the questions to begin with. It would have saved us a lot of time, a lot of backtracking. So there was one area, like Dean said, you know, fashion merchandising, totally different than anything we did. And right away, we wish we asked, you know, some people, some merchandise and fashion experts, how to really go about that, how to approach that systematically. We've obviously gotten a whole lot better at it as it's gone on. But again, you know, something that we wish we knew was to ask the questions in the beginning rather than, you know, take the approach of we'll figure it out as we go along. So that's one area that we have definitely improved in.
So when did you open the doors exactly?
We opened in August of 2012, and then we launched our online store in December of 2012.
So not that long ago. So what would your advice be to, in addition to asking questions, to wannabe retailers?
Be ready for, you know, the challenge of your life. You know, every day we wake up with new things that we face, you know, whether it's increasing traffic online or working with vendors, getting short shipped by vendors. There's never a day that goes by where there's a dull moment. So you really have to live and breathe the stuff, have an appetite for knowledge. So, you know, again, every day you're going to come into something different, so you better be ready for it. Don't let anything get you too frustrated, but you know, enjoy it along the way as well.
We talk a little bit about capital. How much money did you need to put into this, and do you wish you had more?
We always wish we had more. we're actually looking into that right now. But when we first started, we used a lot of our own money and then kind of asked some friends for some loans that we've been able to pay back. Upfront costs are definitely the most difficult part to getting started in the retail industry, just because you have to pay a lot of money upfront just for rent and security deposit, and then building a store from scratch takes a lot of hard work and a lot of money. One thing we were very lucky about was that our real estate agent was able to introduce us to a lot of good people who were able to help build the store and help us out for a lot less money than we were actually anticipating, so we saved a lot of money in that. And then another upfront cost is getting all the inventory in the store, because when you first are opening a retail clothing store, for example, you can't get on like these terms where you're paying like a month after you receive the inventory. You're always paying upfront for the inventory at first, so it takes definitely a lot of money, but then if you're in the right location and you're able to sell your products, then you're able to make that money back pretty fast.
And have you guys made back your initial investment?
Yeah, so the initial investment, all told, I think was probably close to $150,000. Monthly, we've been profitable every single month since inception, which we're really proud of. We've been able to pay ourselves a reasonable salary as well. So far, so good. We're slowly chipping away at that initial investment, but I think the thought is that we can keep growing, and if we look at our projection now, we're going to grow to the point where we can pay back that initial investment within the next year, we hope. So things are going well.
So did you get it from your parents or bank or your savings?
This was primarily savings. I would say 80% was savings, and then the other 20% or so was personal loans.
Excellent. So do you have a typical customer, someone who regularly walks in?
Yeah, definitely. So given our location, I'll speak first to the store, the physical brick and mortar store. We find that a lot of our clientele are in their 20s to 30s, both men and women, of course. We find that we're in a really educated, liberal city, too. So most people are somewhat familiar, at least, with the causes that we support in the store. And most people are pretty appreciative of that, too. We find that our, kind of upper middle class educated clientele really takes interest in what we're doing. And then online, we're still learning our online customer quite a bit, but he and she both seem to be, very similar to our brick and mortar customer. So we're really trying to corner a market of pretty intelligent, upper middle class people who really, see the need for change in the world and, all the while don't want to spend all their money on clothing, but still want to look good. So, yeah.
Sounds good. So, tell us about vendors and customers, the buy one, give one concept. Is it hard to sell? Or as you said, people are pretty liberal and cool around here, so they get that just in general.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely not hard to sell, especially in a city like San Francisco that is very open-minded and conscious about what's going on. So whenever a customer walks in, Mark or I greet them at the door and tell them the whole concept of the store. A lot of them come in just by seeing our sign outside that says clothing with a conscience, and then they're so interested by that, they're like, all right, tell me more, what does this all mean? Mm-hmm. But then we also started to get a lot more repeat customers who have come in and we've actually asked them, like, oh, what brought you back? And they say it's definitely the message. And it's a great gifting item also. Anything you buy in here, you can give to anyone, and there's always a story behind it, which is nice. So I would say our customers are very supportive. And there's been a bunch that have actually said, like, they've been kind of waiting on a store like this. Because on Union Street especially, there's not a lot of, like, eco-friendly clothing shops. And so if we can provide that as well as this additional buy one, give one aspect to it, people are definitely appreciative.
That's really wonderful. I'm glad that you guys are part of this movement. Do you think that a lot more companies are going to get on this bandwagon?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So even within the last, since we began the store, we've seen more and more companies kind of come on board. We've seen a couple that are playing in a similar sector that we are. But, more even so, we're seeing, in clothing, in food, in consumer goods, just all across the board, we're seeing more and more eco-friendly companies pop up, more and more ones with really strong corporate and social responsibility policies ingrained in their culture. So I think it's definitely moving in that direction, I think. Given, the landscape, the political landscape in the country, too, I think it's pretty clear that we're going that way.
Yeah. And that's what the trends are telling us too, especially with the millennials, which is your generation. Mm-hmm. So tell us five or so changes that you would like to see the mainstream retail industry make in the way that they do business to be more eco-friendly.
To start out with one, I would say definitely be aware of where the clothes are being made and kind of having that oversight on the production aspect of it. A lot of people think that just because stuff is made overseas, think that it's made like under poor labor conditions and very eco-unfriendly. But there are ways to kind of ensure that you're paying your labor force well and you're actually not harming the environment too much.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, sure. So I think something that's definitely needed is transparency across the board. So if you look at a company, let's say like Patagonia, Patagonia is extremely transparent. They'll tell you where every single product is made. They'll tell you how it's made and from what resources. So I think a lot of companies can take a page out of their book and, you know, become really transparent so we don't have disasters like what happened in Bangladesh recently happen quite as frequently. I think another way companies can, you know, adopt more eco policy is by simply by putting eco kind of before profit in some way. It's unfortunate that there's planned destruction of some of Apple's products or, you know, a lot of consumer goods will kind of plan die after a couple of years requiring you to replace the product. Now, while this might be slightly good business practice, I think a lot of people would challenge that maybe it's not such a great eco practice and maybe therefore in the long term would hurt their business as well. So I think companies need to think about that. One thing Patagonia has also adopted is replacing current products or fixing them for you. So if you were to go back to an Apple store with a broken iPod, instead of giving you a new iPod, maybe they could replace your old one, repair your old one. It seems like more and more companies are not willing to do that, whereas Patagonia, if you bring back an old Patagonia fleece with a rip in it, more often than not, they'll fix it or recycle it and give you a new one if that is the case. So I think there's a few pages that we can all take out of, you know, Patagonia's book and other companies with really strong corporate and social responsibility packages.
Absolutely. Well, that's excellent. So we're in the end of May 2013. Mm-hmm. What's coming up on the horizon for Be Good Clothing?
Well, right now we're focusing on our online sales. We're trying to grow that as much as possible. And then we know that in the future we want to open more stores, and specifically in the San Francisco area, just because we do love the city, we love living here, and then everyone's very supportive of what we're doing here. But then we also get customers who come in from all different cities all across the U.S., like Austin or Portland, who say, oh, we need to be good there, we need to be good in this city. And that's definitely our long-term goal, is to kind of become a really big retailer. Become almost like, I guess, the Walmart of sustainability and give back products. But that's the long-term future. Right now, we're spending most of our money trying to grow our online business so we can reach that bigger audience so people know who we are, get the brand name out there, and then start to grow more locally.
Something that we're definitely really excited about, too, is our college engagement program. So we actually did a program at Stanford this past spring where we were able to get about close to 1,000 articles of clothing donated, which we then subsequently brought to Goodwill. By doing that, we were able to engage customers. We gave discounts to anyone who participated, and that's something that we hope to continue into the fall. We are in talks with about 50 other universities across the U.S., and we hope to do similar engagement programs like we did at Stanford at those universities. So hopefully more to come there. Again, we know who our target customer is, and our target customer is a potentially young, very intelligent, and liberal consumer. So we know that's the college student, and we hope that our engagement program can work and, you know, support a really great cause as well.
So many good ideas you guys have. You're tapped in, you're energetic, and you are here at 2127 Union Street in San Francisco, and BeGoodClothes.com is where you can buy all these wonderful clothes and gifts. If you want to give Dean and Mark a call, it's 415 829-2289. And real quick, tell us what your hours of operation are.
11 to 7 every day except Saturday, in which we are 10 to 7, bright and early.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you, Dean, for having us here. I'm wearing my Be Good clothing dress, which love I it. Absolutely love. It's a little sexy for DC, but I'm in San Francisco, so I can wear it whenever I want. So you are listening to the Incandescent Radio Network. I'm Hope Gibbs, the producer and host. Thank you for your time, and we will be good and come back here again soon.
Thanks, Hope.
Thanks, Hope.
Thanks, guys. So that's it for today's Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, where we always ask, what's your story? If you have a good one and would like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, send me an email to hope@hopegibbs.com. Check back every Monday at noon for a new episode of the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, www.incandescentradio.com. We look forward to talking to you next week. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.